Well, welcome to the North Point Community Church podcast. This is Clay here. Normally, we bring you hopefully helpful, interesting, inspiring content on the weekends, but this week is a little bit different because we had the privilege, the opportunity to sit down with the one and only Shanti Feldhahn, who has written a new book called The Kindness Challenge, 30 Days to Improve Any Relationship. If you don't know who Shanti is, she is a researcher, she's an author, she has spoken to many organizations, many companies, she has loads of degrees, and she's written a number of different books. She's actually sold 2 million copies in 24 different languages, so she is quite acclaimed. I first heard of her, which so many of you did as well, back in 2004 when she did an interview with Andy Stanley at North Point about a book that she had just written called For Women Only. And it's a tremendous book. She ended up writing a book called For Men Only. She wrote a book called The Male Factor. And then she wrote a book called The Surprising Secrets of Highly Happy Marriages, which are all really fantastic, research-driven, excellent books. And this one, The Kindness Challenge, is fantastic as well. And I think you're going to enjoy this interview. So, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, thanks for being a part of North Point Community Church, and I hope you enjoy this. Well, it is my privilege to welcome Shanti Feldhahn to the North Point Community Church podcast. Shanti, hello, and how are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to be with you.
We're glad you're with us as well. Let's see, you have a great relationship with North Point because, well, the first time I remember hearing about you was, what year was that when you spoke or Andy interviewed you? Maybe 2004, 2005?
It was 2004. It was interesting. It was right after For Women Only, you know, the book about men,
yep,
had come out. And Andy called and said, you know, we really would love to interview you on Sunday morning as the sermon time, you know, for everybody to hear. This is important. And I went, wait, but I'm speaking to women's groups. Like, he was the first one that basically said, no, like everybody, both sides.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Look at Andy.
It was amazing.
Once again, being a champion for men and women alike. That's really awesome. Not surprising. today we're actually talking about, well, catch us up actually, Shanti. That was 2004. Here we are 14 years later. You're still writing. You're still speaking. I saw in your bio that you have sold over 2 million books, which is absolutely amazing. But catch us up. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about the last few years.
Yeah, that really, honestly, that interview with Andy, I know this sounds funny, but that really helped launch For Women Only. And that helped launch this whole new path that I didn't actually realize that God had for me, which is really diving into the research and this whole idea of, as a social researcher, using my background, because I actually used to work on Wall Street and I had more of this analytical background, not a counseling background,
right,
or a therapist background, but using that to pull out, do these studies and pull out these things that we just tend not to know about each other. And once you know or understand, you know, this really matters or that really works, you know, these things that I've been studying, it's usually honestly something that can help you help your own relationships.
Wow.
Without having so much of the pain that sometimes accompanies that, or the frustration, mm-hmm, or whatever, or just make the good relationship great. So that's what I've been doing over the last 14 years since then, is doing these different studies, and then whatever we're pulling out that seems to make the most difference in people's lives, then that's what we write the book about.
Well, I love the way you approach things. I feel like you're like a mix between Freakonomics and Oprah Winfrey.
Because, oh, that's
because
a great compliment.
You use data, you're data driven, but you do have such a heart to really help people and to talk about issues that are really important, but you don't just do it from a, hey, here are my opinions. You really do it from a, a data-driven, research-driven angle, which I think is fantastic. Let's jump into your most recent book that you've written. It's called The Kindness Challenge. One of the questions that I love starting with whenever talking to authors, which I feel like you have probably fielded a bunch of times, but I feel like it just allows you to talk in general about why you wrote, is just that. You could have written on anything you wanted to write on at this point in your life, but why did you choose this book and this topic? How did you get into this?
You know, it's interesting. This is actually, in some ways, a capstone, really, or a culmination of a bunch of other projects that we had done. We had been, over the years, really mostly focusing on helping people understand each other, right? Like helping women understand men, or men understand women, or, you know, we had done a study of teenagers, we had done a study of happy marriages. And in the process of all of those, I decided to sort of pull out all the surveys and all the studies I'd done and look at them kind of sideways, because really what we're trying to do is help people thrive, right? In their lives and their relationships. That's the ultimate goal. And I realized when I looked at all these studies from a different angle that there was one theme that was running through all of these different studies, which is whether you're thriving in your life and your relationships, it turns out it's far more correlated to how we treat other people than how other people treat us.
Which is so counterintuitive, because we think that it's all about, well, I'm going to be happy if I'm treated well, but that's not what you found.
Yeah. By definition, you kind of think that's what it is.
Sure.
And it was, as I started kind of pulling on that thread a little bit, I realized, wait a minute, really what this is saying is, you know, like I said, that it's all about, you know, whether you're thriving is how you treat other people than how you are treated. Really, ultimately, it was all about being kind. And I started to wonder, what does that look like? Because the reality is that all of us think we are kind.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fascinating once you start drilling down into this. I mean, now, you know, Andy really started this process of pastors, you know, having me on stage and interviewing me as the sermon time, right? That first one was with Andy. I've done that now with hundreds of other churches. And the question that the pastor always asks me when we're talking about this topic, you know, is, you know, who needs this? Because everybody sitting in the church is sitting there thinking, oh, man, I wish Jennifer were here today.
Yeah, this is for someone else,
I wish
not
John
for me.
I was here. Yeah. Sure. And we think we really, and it's true, we really honestly see ourselves as being kind people. It's I'm guessing for everybody listening to this, it's a value. And yet we don't realize we're actually kind of deluded.
Wow.
And that there's so much more unkindness going on without us intending it, coming out of us every day.
Mm.
And so that's really where this project started.
And one of the things I love that you do real early on, because words matter, words need to be defined, and you do such a great job talking specifically about what kindness is. And you make this great statement that kindness is not the same as being nice. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, it's essentially, this is something for everybody to really kind of recognize at the outset, is that we have this idea that that they're equivalent, and they're not. Because niceness, there's nothing necessarily wrong with it. It's more surfacey. It's more keeping things pleasant. There's nothing wrong with a pleasant environment. But the problem is that it can sometimes go against kindness. Because if you think about sort of the biblical definition, and literally you look at the Greek word for loving kindness, like all the different biblical definitions and really the scientific definitions, is kindness really cares most about the best interests of the other person.
Wow.
The true kindness really cares about the other person. And sometimes, if there's a difficult relationship, if there is one of those, sometimes those dysfunctional times when it's, we really don't want to be kind, that's actually the time in which it's most important on their behalf. And I'll give you an example of this. We, as I'm sure we'll discuss shortly, we ended up doing this big, long test to try to figure out what's the best process for becoming kind people and actually looking like this and how it improves your relationships every day. And we called it the 30-Day Kindness Challenge. And I was there was a woman who was doing the 30-Day Kindness Challenge who was in a colleague relationship with a guy who was really, really difficult. He was one of her peers at work, and he was a crotchety guy who just was abusive, and everybody was leaving their department because of his sort of demeanor. And she was doing this 30-Day Kindness Challenge, and she was one of my test sort of subjects, and asked me, like, what do I do? And I'm like, look, being kind is not the same thing as being nice. And what you're doing by not addressing this behavior is you're allowing him to actually continue to destroy not only your department, but his own emotional equilibrium. Wow. Like, it's not healthy for people to be unkind. Wow. And it certainly wasn't good for his job prospects. So by not addressing and having this rather difficult conversation that she needed to have with him, you're actually not being kind.
Wow.
And it was interesting. She ended up addressing it in a very sort of calm, very kind way. But she said, you know, basically, Hank or whatever his name was, you know, look, I know you don't intend to be cruel. And part of kindness, by the way, is at the beginning giving somebody the benefit of the doubt, right? Like believing the best. Mm. Like, I know you don't intend to be cruel, but you are being cruel.
Wow.
And it's destroying the department. And she had this long, you know, not super long, but conversation with him, said, look, I know that this can change and it needs to change. And I know you can do this, but just so you know, if this doesn't change, I'll have no choice but to send this up the chain to the relevant, you know, people in leadership to make some changes. And, you know, they were peers. It wasn't like she had any power to get the guy fired, but she knew it was being unkind to let him continue to be this way. And that's something I think all of us have to sort of keep in mind, is that being kind usually involves strength. It's not the same thing as being nice and keeping things surfacey.
That is really fantastic. And I love what you're saying, that there is actually a state that we can be in where we are being nice, but we might not be kind in that moment. We might not be as kind as we could
unkind.
Be towards someone. We might actually be unkind. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's
such I mean, if somebody I care about a lot recently confessed to me that they were dealing with a significant temptation in their life and had been giving in to that temptation.
Was it Amazon Prime?
And was it what?
Amazon Prime.
Yeah, no.
Just kidding. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. But it's interesting because this particular one was a real struggle. And unfortunately, this person had been giving into it. And I'm looking into the future and going, oh my goodness, you know, if you keep going with this, that's going to have all these big impacts on your life for years to come. And so what is kindness at that point? Is it to say, oh, I'm so sorry, I'll pray for you?
Wow.
Which, that's a start, yeah, right?
But that's probably not enough.
It's not enough.
Yeah.
It's actually unkind for me to leave this person in this position where they're at risk of destroying their life.
Wow.
And doing self-harm and all that other kind of stuff. That's not kindness.
Well, I love what you said, even with your illustration of the girl at work who's dealing with the guy that was toxic, Hank, I think you called him. That there, she had to put a boundary in place even. She had to say, hey, if you continue to treat me this way or treat our coworkers this way, I have to send this up the chain of command, basically, which that's not easy to do either, to set those kinds of boundaries. I know you touch on that a little bit, but what do you, how do you help people, or what do you have to say about those moments when it is necessary to put up some sort of boundary?
Well, first thing, honestly, the most important thing is recognizing that that's necessary, right? Because a lot of people, that's not, they don't necessarily think of things that way. They're trying to avoid conflict or whatever. But again, it's about training ourselves in kindness so that we're willing to do that. And honestly, that's, I think that's where Now, we named it the 30-Day Kindness Challenge. You could call it anything you wanted. But honestly, that's where the 30-Day Kindness Challenge comes in, is you really have to actually kind of train yourself. And it's not just to be willing to confront these kind of dysfunctional problems. I mean, that's certainly there, but that's not usually the biggest application of this. Usually you've got a good relationship with somebody, like your spouse, right? Like you already have a good marriage. You just want to make it better. You already have a decent relationship with your kids, or, you know, this one hypothetical teenager who rolls her eyes at you.
Asking for a friend.
You just want to have a better hypothetical.
Sure. That's right.
You just want to have a better relationship. But there are those cases where things are difficult. You know, maybe you do have a kind of a tense relationship with your mother-in-law, right? Mm. Maybe you do have a tense relationship in your marriage. And what we have found is that it is really, really crucial for us to work on ourselves first before confronting that relationship and that situation with the other person to the degree that we can. I mean, obviously you've got somebody who's in a difficult situation and you need to confront it now. Mm-hmm. That is about how you do that. But that's why I feel like the 30-Day Kindness Challenge and this habit that you build is crucial.
Tell us more about the 30-Day Kindness Challenge.
So essentially, this process is what we were really testing as essentially the main principle that runs through this whole project, this whole book, is what is it that will make the biggest difference in your relationship? And I don't care what kind of relationship it is, right? Like, it might be a spouse, it might be a child, it might be your mother-in-law,
your
might
boss.
Be that colleague, your boss, yeah. It might be whomever. And what is it that's going to make the biggest difference to open our eyes to those ways we actually need to work on ourselves? It's not just about this other person who's driving me nuts, right? That maybe I'm doing something that's contributing to that. And so that's what we ended up testing and sort of doing these before and after. We would have these study groups of people that went through this whole process, and we'd have them do this and test statistically what happened, you know, 30 days later. And that's how we came up with this. And it's three different things. So we ended up, after all of that research, we ended up identifying that there are three things that if you do these every single day for 30 days, it's super simple, but it's super transformative. And so here's what the three things are. First you have to pick the person you're going to do this for. And by the way, picking one person at the beginning, that's really crucial. It's really tempting as you listen to what I'm saying. It's really tempting to want to do this for several different people. And I would urge you not to. Wow. I would urge you to pick one person at the beginning. And use this as your boot camp. Use this as your training ground to become that kind person you already think you are. And then after you've done it with one person for 30 days, then you can do it as widely as you want.
But don't bite off more than you can chew.
Yeah, you mostly need to have that eye-opening thing
yep.
happen. And
yep.
it's not going to happen if you do it with three or four people. So you pick that person. Let's just say it's your spouse.
Okay.
And you, for 30 days, you do these three things. First, you say nothing negative about that person, either to them or about them to somebody else.
Wow.
Nothing negative. Now, that often, that not saying to anybody else, that's often where we trip ourselves up.
Wow.
Because I can be, let's just say I'm in a difficult season with my husband. I can be polite to him.
Sure.
But if I go to my girlfriends at work the next day, you know, and I'm like, ugh, you know what he did yesterday? And mm-hmm. I'm like complaining about, you know, the dishes were all in the sink or whatever. If I do that, I don't realize that what I'm doing is I'm actually sabotaging how I feel about my husband.
Oh, wow. So say nothing negative about them. But what if they give you something negative to say something about? What do you do then?
So this is a 30-day process.
Yeah.
And honestly, this is where you have to go,
yeah.
I'm not allowed to sort of go, I can't believe that yeah. you didn't do the dishes when you told me you would, right? Like 30 days, nothing.
Wow.
And now that doesn't mean that you can't, if it's truly there's something that's a correction that needs to happen because you're doing this for your child, or you're doing this for somebody at work and somebody messed up and you have to address something, you can still do that. It just, you're not allowed to do it negatively, right? And so it's an interesting, it's a very interesting process to show you just how often that negativity and unkindness comes out. So that's the first thing. Second thing is every day for 30 days is to actually find something that you can sincerely praise, sincerely affirm about this person. And you tell them and you tell somebody else. So I can't complain about something my husband didn't do, for example, but I'm looking kind of for the things to praise. And so I notice, let's just say I notice he came home from work early to take the kids to their activities.
Or how about on time? He was home on time. How about that one?
On time, exactly. And so you say, you know, thank you. You know, that means something to me. Thank you for doing that, right? And then you go to your friends. This would be me. I would go to my friends at work the next day, and I'd say, you know what he did? You know, he came home early to take the kids to soccer or whatever. And what I'm doing, I don't think of it this way, but what I'm doing is basically putting Philippians 4 into practice.
Wow.
You know how God says, you know, through Paul, he's like, rejoice. Yep. I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. Yep. You know,
right.
And it's like,
right.
Hey, dude, you're in prison. You're chained to a wall. Yep. Like the church is persecuted. What do you mean? Like, how do you do that? How do you rejoice in a prison or a difficult marriage or in a frustrating environment at work or whatever? And God gives us the prescription right there. He says, okay, here's how you think on those things that are excellent and lovely and worthy of praise rather than the things that are worthy of driving you crazy. And so that's the process, is that if you're looking for things to praise and you tell somebody and you tell somebody else, your feelings are going to change.
Wow. So number one is say nothing negative. Number two, find and say something positive, something affirming to them and about them.
Yep.
Hit us with number three.
Number three is to do a small action of generosity each day, a small action of kindness.
Wow.
So let's just say, let's say I'm not doing this for my spouse. Let's say I'm doing this for my daughter, which is actually who I did this for when I was doing the 30-day kindness challenge. And I realized that, you know, we think of actions of kindness as being like, you know, paying for the guy at the drive-thru who's behind you in the beat-up car.
Sure, the random
act of kindness.
Sure.
Yeah, that's kind of where your brain goes. And yeah, okay, acts of kindness, like actual acts of service, that's one type. But we actually identified a bunch of different types of generosity.
Wow.
And like, I recognized with my daughter when I was doing this, that for her, an action of generosity comes when I'm sitting at my computer working on a deadline and I'm all in, right? I'm all focused. And she comes running in and goes, hey, you know, Mom, I found this cute little YouTube video. Can you watch this with me? And like, it's 5 minutes, you know? But before, I'd be like, just a second, honey, you know, give me an hour. I'll be with you in an hour. And I realized an action of generosity for her is actually taking my attention off of what I'm doing for 5 minutes and entering into her excitement right then. So a type of generosity that we don't think of is actually entering into someone's world right when they want us to.
Wow.
Even if it's just for a few minutes, it sounds silly, but it's an action of kindness. And it the power of it is subconscious. It tells that person, you're valuable.
You matter.
You're worth it.
Yeah.
You matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shanti, that is, for me as a dad, that is very convicting because I don't know how many times a day my kids say, hey, look, dad, look. And to your point, it's so easy for me to say, oh, not now. Give me, you know, and I'm usually working on something positive. It's not like I'm just, you know, on Facebook all the time. Usually I'm doing something productive around the house, right? But that, to your point, that is very, that would be an act of generosity to suspend what I want to do in that moment and to say, hey, I'm going to put your interest above my own. I'm going to show you with my attention that you matter. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's interesting how these things, I mean, if you think about it, not saying anything negative to or about the person and finding the positive and telling them and somebody else, and this little action of generosity, this is all like little stuff. Like, this is simple. This isn't rocket science.
Mm-hmm.
These are little actions. But when we tested this, and I, in this particular process, and we got the numbers back, I know this is going to sound funny, but I almost found myself getting emotional. Like,
wow.
I found myself tearing up because 89% of the relationships improved. 89%
wow.
in those 30 days. And I mean, you don't see numbers like that.
No,
in
that's
social
an
science.
Extremely high success rate, which it shouldn't be surprising because, to your point, all throughout the New Testament, this is what the authors of the New Testament said. Hey, if you want to have great
exactly.
relationships, do these things. But yet when
exactly.
we actually do these tests and we say, oh, wow, it really does work. I don't know. It is. It's kind of surprising. But that's an amazing number that 89% actually got better. Can I ask you
yeah.
a question, Shanti?
Yeah.
What you know, the thing that most people, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I would imagine others are thinking is, okay, yeah, I would expect the relationship to get better if I did that, but what's in it for me? And I think this is what's so interesting about your research is there is something in it for us. Can you explain that to us? What
yeah.
do I get out of this?
Well, here's what also blew me away is when we were looking at the numbers and crunching all the numbers, one of the things that, again, almost made me a little emotional is that the person who is, if you think about it this way, the person who's doing the 30-Day Kindness Challenge is doing all the work, quote unquote, right? They're the ones who are putting in all the effort. The person on the other end usually didn't even know that this was being done for them. You know, they had no idea. And yet at the end of the process, the person doing this, 66% of those people said they felt more appreciated. They felt more loved. And now remember, this was a completely one-sided effort.
Wow.
And yet at the end, they felt more cared for. And I thought that right there is quantifying the Jesus paradox.
Yeah.
That's quantifying this idea that, you know, it's serving others. It's quantifying all these things that Jesus tells us to do, you know, the meek will inherit the earth type things. You know, that we're so used in our natural state and in our culture, it's all about, I want things to be fair to me. I want to be happy. I want you to start treating me right. And yet, once we focus on serving and being kind to others in these really simple, really, really simple little ways, in the end, we are going to feel more loved and appreciated.
Wow. Shanti, that is just fantastic, and it so aligns with the kind of church that we want to be. We've been using a phrase a lot recently that Jesus really does make me, he makes my life better, and he makes me better at life, and this aligns with both of those so well, because if any one of us would actually take you up on this and try this 30-day challenge, not only would it make the relationship better, but it would also make me better, that I would be better for it. And I think the beauty of what you've done here is you've provided us a very clear roadmap, a very actionable way that we can put this into practice, and the research behind it as well. So genuinely, I just want to tell you kudos for writing this. Thank you for helping all of us figure out how to have better relationships. Let me just ask you one final question. We're in a series right now called Three Things I Learned about a Movie I Did Not Want to See. And it's about this movie called Wonder. Have you seen Wonder?
I haven't, but I read the book.
Oh, look at you.
Sort of. Well, I was reading it with my son
okay.
a couple of summers ago.
Okay.
I haven't read the whole book, but I know a lot about it.
Okay. Well, the book was a best-selling book, and then it got turned into a movie, and we're just talking about a few things that we're learning from it together. But one of the quotes that we're using from the book in one of these messages is, be kind, for everyone is fighting a hard battle. How does what you've written in the Kindness Challenge align with that?
So essentially, that's the whole premise behind it. Like everything that we're talking about is wrapped up in becoming this kind of person that everybody wants to be.
Right.
Because the whole point of everybody you meet is fighting a great battle. That's the state of our world, right? That's the reason that Jesus came.
That's so
That's
true.
The reason that he yeah. put us here
yeah.
is to be those people who actually show that true loving kindness, right? Using that official word that you see throughout the Bible, to actually to be those hands and feet that we say that we want to be.
Wow.
And even if it is as simple as learning how to be the kind people we already think we are, it is really essential, because that's the problem right there, is that we don't realize how often every day we have these types of unkindness coming out of us.
Wow.
And we have to learn to catch it when it happens. And that really, honestly, is how our character changes to be more like Christ right there.
I just can't encourage you enough. If you're listening, I hope that you'll check it out. I hope you'll take a look, buy Shanti's book. I love listening to sermons, but what I love about this even more is that it's active and it puts things into action. So, Shanti, we can't thank you enough. Thanks for being such a significant part of our church for all these years. You are awesome, and thanks for writing this book.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate the chance to share about it.
I hope you enjoyed that genuinely, but I also hope you're tracking with our series called The Three Things I Learned from a Movie I Didn't Want to See. If you're in the Atlanta area, I hope that you'll see us this weekend for another installment of this really fun series that we're in the middle of. And if you're not in the Atlanta area, you can always join us at northpoint.live. We're live online. We stream at 9 and at 11, and then we're on demand toward the end of the day and on our website, northpoint.live. So I hope you'll check it out and hope you'll track with us. But share this if you would. Give us a review on iTunes and tell somebody about it. But genuinely, thanks for being a part of North Point Community Church, and I hope that we'll see you soon.